All right, this is the second part of what to leave behind for those left behind.
Oh, good.
So we're going to continue on with that. Last week we talked about one of the main things you should include is your testimony. It's going to be very important that the people in your family and in your circle understand what you went through. So let's talk a little bit about that. Turn to 1 Peter 3. Somebody read 13 through 15. 1 Peter 3, 13 through 15.
And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear.
All right, so when Peter is talking about this, he says that we need to do this with meekness and fear. So he's letting us know this is not a bragging session. This is not about a brag. This is not a time to try to one-up every story you've ever heard or who you think might be reading it. You are to be truthful and not prideful. And you are not to focus on nor glorify your past. That's hard for some people. The only reason we share our past before we came to God is so people have a baseline. They understand where we came from and what change God brought in their lives. Whatever that is, you don't have to make it worse than it was or anything. Just where you were originally. Let them understand that. One time I let a guy speak to our youth group when I was a youth pastor. And he spent 95% of the time bragging about his criminal escapades as a drug dealer.
Oh, my.
And then right then, he said, then I got saved, I don't do that anymore. Then I realized I have to hear people's testimony before I let them speak them in public.
Yeah, better.
Learned that one the hard way. But he did. He told story after story glorifying his past life. Cannot do that. It is not about glorifying your past. It's about explaining it so people understand that you may not have been the perfect person you are now, the person you are today, that there has been a change in you somehow. And you don't have to be a drug dealer and say, I no longer deal drugs, now I feed the homeless people with the rescue mission. The change doesn't have to be that big. It can just be, you know what, I just never went to church, never wanted to listen to a preacher, never listened to a gospel message, and then one day something happened, God got a hold of my heart, and now, you know, I spend my spare moments, you know, reading the Bible and going to church and studying to become a better Christian and stuff like that. It doesn't have to be drastic. It just has to be a change. If you write your testimony and life is the same before and after, you did not get saved. It did not happen. You're fooling yourself. You think, oh. If you turn to Timothy, or 2 Timothy 4. I need somebody to read 1 and 2.
I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine.
Okay, so he's talking to Timothy about his job as a preacher, but he's also talking to Christians in general. You are to be ready to explain why you are a Christian. That's what this is about. And Paul is encouraging us to stand strong and to serve the Lord in everything we do. But if you look at that scripture, we are called to share the gospel by the Great Commission that is given to us by Jesus. And the key to the Great Commission is to remember it doesn't say if you go, it says when you go or as you go. It is not a special effort you make. So keep that in mind. And since we're to share the gospel with others, Paul tells us when. It's in season, out of season, all the time, what we're talking about. Always be ready to share, and the purpose is to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. So the purpose of your testimony is going to be to show your life and the change in your life so that you can convince somebody that there is power here, that there is something made a change in your life. You're there to convince them of that. And then the rebuke and exhort is not so much for your testimony, but it is the time to tell them you need to change. If you can't change, if you can't, you know, you're not going to get it right if you can't change. So you need to get it right. This is, in this sense, this is for those who are left behind. Man, this is their last chance to get it right. They're going to have to get on it. So, and that's what the exhort is. You're encouraging them to get saved, stand strong, be prepared. Things are only going to get worse. So we use our personal experience with the life-changing salvation that we received as evidence of Christ in our life. So keep that in mind. Paul did this really well. So if you look at 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16.
It is a trustworthy statement concerning full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life.
All right. So this is what Paul is talking about. He, first off, he considers himself the chief sinner, and as the man who killed converts, Christian converts, he did rank up there pretty bad of things to do if you're wanting to become a Christian. That's not the best way to get in. But there is no sin too great. God forgives sin if we are faithful to confess and repent. He will forgive us. So there's no sin too big that his blood can't wash away. That is part of what your testimony is about, just a simple version of what your testimony is about. It's about showing that you are not too bad to be saved. For some reason, people have this erroneous belief that before they can start going to church, they need to get their life cleaned up. And that's like breaking your leg and fixing it yourself and letting it heal before you go to the emergency room. So you've got to be willing to go. They need to understand that. There's not a single person in this room that has the right to look down on the life of anybody else. Because even though Paul considers himself the chief sinner, God considers all sin, sin. The only one that is really unpardonable is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But other than that, sin is sin, and that's all there is. So it doesn't matter what our sin is. It didn't matter if your only sin was you stole a nickel piece of bubble gum when you were a kid compared to Hitler killing 6 million Jews. If Hitler would have repented before he died, God would have saved him. I don't think he did, personally, but he would have, because sin is sin. So your testimony, they need to understand that. Now, if you were to work on your testimony, there are three different testimony versions you will have. And it's only based on length. The first is a minute, A 3 minute, a 30 minute. That's the easiest way to remember. 1 minute, 3 minute, 30 minute. A 1 minute presentation is your elevator presentation. Some poor soul got stuck in the elevator with you. They're trapped. They can't get out. You have 1 minute to convince them to, that they need Jesus. Now, that's what that is. The elevator speech. 3 minutes for a conversation. You're in a conversation at Food Line. And somebody says, you know, why should I get saved? Or how do you know Jesus is real? Or some whatever they ask. And then you give a 3 minute presentation of your testimony. Don't bore them to death. It's a simple, quick conversation, but you can add a little bit more detail than you can in the elevator. And then the other one is a 30 minute. That's when you're in a long talk with somebody, they're really thinking, or you're doing a presentation. If you have the time, give them the details. You know, you don't have to go in details of what your sins were, but you have to go in the details of how your life has been changed. That's where you want to spend your time from conversion forward, not really pre-conversion. That's a sketch so they understand what type of person you were. That's all it's about. So you can work on your testimony. You should include it in what we're doing now, but you should also be ready to give it whenever. When somebody asks you. So I have two different worksheets. I better keep one. Some of you all may have seen this before. This is a little uneven.
Didn't feel right, did it?
That's okay. So, this is a simple way to help you understand how to put it together. That can be your first sentence. I've not always been a Christian, and briefly describe your life before becoming a Christian. Then I realized I needed Jesus and received him into my life when. You go into that. And the biggest change I've noticed in my life is whatever that is. You talk about that. And then the fourth box down here is, may I share something, how something like this can happen to you. That's where you talk about the different ways we've talked about to get saved. The Romans Road, the ABCs, whatever you have chosen as the method you're most comfortable with, you would present it there. That is that part. I'm going to pass out one more paper here. It's a little bit more detailed. Let me see. Actually, let me pause it and we'll come back. All right, so this paper I passed out says Your Story, God's Story. This is more about testimony. This says 3 to 5 minutes long. This is the conversational one that this focuses on. These are the steps. There's some helpful hints here on this, though, I wanted to go over. You center your testimony on Jesus, not on you. You got to make sure it's focused on Jesus. It says use a theme in your testimony. Relate some of the needs Christ has met in question 3, which was describe your life since you have received Christ. If you received Christ at a very young age, then emphasize your Christian growth. Be creative. Do not monotone your testimony. I will tell you that. Do not do that. Before I met Jesus, I was a bad sinner, and then one day I decided to get saved, and life's been wonderful ever since. It's really not that convincing, is it? Would you want to go buy whatever that man is selling? No, you would not. You can use an attention-getting sentence if you have something really big, like, before I got saved, I robbed banks. Actually, the Lord's Roundtable is a great spot to hear testimonies of some of the biggest criminals of our time. There's a guy on there, he stole the biggest diamond, whatever it was. So, you know, if you did that, you could say, you know, I stole the biggest diamond ever found. That's an attention-getting sentence right there. Or if you knocked off 12 banks when you rode with the Hells Angels, that would be something you could say. But it is not about glorifying that. It's about using whatever it is to get the attention. Whatever it is. Get it. If you choose. These are just suggestions. These are not hard rules. But you do give enough details to arouse the interest. You know, if you say, hey, I was a hardened criminal, and you leave it at that, you're, all people are going to be thinking about is what'd you do? My idea of a hardened criminal and your idea of a hardened criminal might be two different things. I might have spent my life jaywalking and think I have warrants all over the place for me because I just don't know any better. You might be thinking when I say I'm a hardened criminal that I did rob banks and shoot people. Make sure you get it clear enough so people do not focus on that. It's got to be pretty clear. If you can, definitely put scriptures in it because God's word will not return void. So the more we speak God's word to somebody, the more chance they have of finding Christ. Now they say finish with a good conclusion that relates back to the first sentence. Actually, your best stories are all tied up at the end. Don't leave them hanging on something, because what you want them to understand fully is that God changed your life. And that's what you want them to concentrate on. You don't want to leave them with cliffhangers. You want to make sure it's all summed up. I will say you got to avoid churchy words. They use saved, born again, blessed, praise the Lord, sanctified, etc. It's going to be hard to say I got saved without using the word saved. But you can think of different ways to say it if you want to. But you do have to understand words we use every day in church, most of the people in the public will not understand if they don't have a church background. Saved doesn't mean anything unless you said what you were saved from. You know, what does that mean? You were saved. Were you drowning? Were you in a burning building? You know, you were saved one day. And so some guy named Jesus Christ came in and got you out. That's honestly the truth, but make sure you explain what he came into and got you out of. You didn't, you know, don't leave him. So make sure that you explain things just so a person can understand. Don't be too wordy or beat around the bush. People have a tendency to tell a story within a story, within a story, within a story, within a story. A lot of people do. They'll say, hey, you know, I was going down to Walmart the other day, and I bought this truck. And my friend, he had the exact same truck I had. Only his had a different size engine in it. I remember that engine. It reminded me of an engine I had one time in another pickup. And you're going, what did you go to the store for, people? Just get to the point. I don't know. I don't care about the engine you had in 1973 car. I don't care. But that's how it gets. Make sure you don't do that when you're talking to somebody. Stay strictly to your testimony, to the point. Don't get too far out of bounds. Church denominations, it says do not mention them, and in all honesty, don't. If they are wanting to argue, they will argue about that. It doesn't matter what they are, they'll argue. You can say I'm Southern Baptist, and they can say, well, I'm a Southern Baptist too, but I don't like this about the Southern Baptist. That's what they're going to get into. Don't, just drop it. Leave it out of the conversation, because there are people in all denominations, all the Protestant denominations in America. There are good people in there who found the Lord somehow, whether the denomination told them how or not. They heard it somewhere. So you can't. There are certain denominations we know do not teach the right plan of salvation, but just stay away from it. You're not here to give a theological class on the problems with belief systems. Leave it alone. Here's a big one. Do not give the impression that the Christian life is a bed of roses. You do not want to lure somebody into Christianity through a false promise of an easy life or prosperity or things like that. It does say share your testimony with another Christian friend and ask them to clarify. Because you will say stuff that makes perfect sense to you. It sounds great in your head. And then you say it and the people looking at you didn't quite make the connection the way they did or the way you did. So you're going to make sure that you have somebody else help you through that. So that is the work that you have assigned to you this evening. All right. Anybody have any questions besides Riley?
Riley got a lot to say.
Southern Baptist, Baptist, Methodist. Don't say what kind of church you go to. Yeah, leave that out of the conversation. Now, when they ask you later, where do you go to church, you can answer that. So, and here's a few more things you can keep in mind. You have to be real in this. It's got to be real. Don't. Yeah, that's right. Don't. And also, don't make it sound better than it was. Don't make it sound worse than it was. Be real about it. You have to be kind of open and vulnerable. You're going to share information. How many of y'all want to talk about your sins? Yeah. Right. Right. So, you know, whatever you need to be truthful about. You've always point people to Christ, regardless of how amazing you think your story is. Okay, there you go. That's it. Any questions? All right, let's get working on it. How many of you all are making good time on this?
Yeah. I got a pair.
See how hard it is if you didn't do this in advance. How hard would it be to come up with this on the fly in a conversation with somebody? You're having trouble right now trying to just write down. Most people do. You might not be, but most people have trouble writing this down. So I'll tell you, I won't share my whole testimony here, but the simple basis of mine, I got saved when I was a kid. So getting saved early isn't necessarily so bad when it comes to a testimony. Most people who get saved as kids do what I do. They reach a point in life where they rebel against it all. And they start doing their own thing. And then eventually something will bring them back, like it did me, back into church. But it actually eventually led me back into ministry. I got into ministry because I really wanted to know why I believe what I believe. And so if somebody came up and said, why do you believe this? I didn't want to say, well, it's because that's what my Sunday school teacher taught me when I was three. I don't know. I wanted to know why. So I started studying and researching, and the more I did that, the more I understood God's call and stuff like that. But your testimony can be, I got saved as a kid and never really strayed very far. But if you think about it, there is a point in your life where you were not following God. Even if you got saved as a kid, you just took it too much for granted. If you didn't get saved till later in life, that's also fine. You can point that out. You know, I finally... Because there comes a point, whether you were saved as a child or whether you got saved as an adult, where you finally realize God is actually in control of this world. And you are on the outside. And you need Him in your life. So just write that down. Start with that. All right, so the question was asked, what about the date? Should you know the date? Bobby says he does know the exact date.
Yeah.
Where were you? Where were you?
Where was I? At home.
You were at home? Okay, just checking. So you were at home, and what was your date, just by the way?
December 28, 1996, at 7:40 p.m., Saturday night.
Right. What was on TV? What was the cover of the TV guy? No, I'm just kidding.
Just kidding. A friend invited me to church, and I wanted to tell you, I didn't want to do it. So I went home and watched this program. I found out Saturday. And this program, the one I just turned the TV on, it happened to be, Robert Stewart Sr.
Oh, really? Right.
And he had a Saturday night program, and his message was Broken Promises. And they grabbed a hold of it. But I tried to get a copy of that, and I can't get it. They said they have to go to the archives to get it. I called the church.
Oh, really?
And they said they can't get a copy of it because it's in the archives. I've never tried since then.
Right. Wow.
But we was baptized February 16th right here.
All right.
Started teaching Sunday school sometime in June, July that year. which I warned them, elders asked me, and I said, you're not supposed to ask a new believer to do something like this because they can slide back.
Right.
And they said, no, I don't think you will, and they kept on me around.
Well, you had that amazing qualification being able to fog a mirror. That we look for in all volunteers. So, now, what if you can't remember the date? Okay. There's a different one. It's not about the date, it's about the event. If you can remember the event, you're fine. You have to be able to pinpoint your moment of salvation to a place. And, you know, you can say, I don't know, it might have been 1978. It could have been, could have been the spring of 79 for all that. I'm not exactly sure when, but I know where I was, and I know who I was with, and I know what happened to make me do it. But if you just can't really pinpoint that. So I'll be honest with you. One of the things we do, even if you want to be the youth pastor here, you have to give me your testimony. And if you can't, if there is not a pinpointed moment of salvation, I'll have a talk with you. You're not saved. And I had the talk not too long ago with somebody. They gave me a testimony that had no moment of salvation in it. I sent them back home with it, asked them to redo it, make it clear, and it came back with still without the moment of salvation in it. Like I say, I don't care about the time. I know I got saved in elementary school, and my teacher was Mrs. Powell. If I could tell you she was my first grade teacher, I would know I was in first grade when it happened. She might have been my second grade teacher. I honestly can't remember because it was Martinsburg Christian Academy, and we weren't a one-room schoolhouse, but we were pretty close. It was a startup just like we are here this year, and the kids are all in the same room. So I can't remember what grade I was when I had her exactly. That, my memory's bad, but... Other than that, but no, I do know when it happened. I know she had presented a Bible story. That I cannot tell you what the story was. And she asked if anybody wanted to get saved, and I didn't. But when class was over, I went up to her and told her I did. I just didn't want to raise my hand. I take an F before I walk in front of class.
Yeah.
Give me the F. So, but I that's what I remember. I don't remember the day. I don't remember. I've tried my best to pinpoint it. It comes out, I think, to May 12th, but I could be wrong about that. I have to go back and look when I really sit down and tried to figure out exactly when. Talk to my mom because she remembers it also. She just doesn't remember exactly either. So, but I'm like some of you all today. If I don't remember dates very well. I mean, you know, I have a hard time knowing what the day is. If I haven't had to specifically write the date down for the day, I might not know the exact date today. I can sign in and out of the Coast Guard every day and have to look at their calendar to make sure I write the right day on it from morning to afternoon. I still have to look to make sure. So, it's sometimes dates just don't register with some people and they don't with me exactly. You know what I mean? So. But you do have to have that moment. That's the key. Have the moment. Be able to say what happened.
But there's a lot of these stadium preachers that are leading people astray. They might have a head full of knowledge and a head to jump.
You're right.
They don't have salvation.
That's right. That's true. And it is so hard. So, tell you the truth, I don't know if you paid attention, Amanda, this past Sunday with your daughter. I wasn't real receptive at the beginning, was I? I kind of questioned her because, and I did that, I do that. And I did it one time on a youth van with an assistant youth leader I had. After we dropped the boy off, he said, why did you try to talk him out of getting saved? I said, because if I can talk him out of it, he's not serious. I said, it's that simple. They have to be committed to this. I'll try to figure out if it's because their girlfriend's in the youth group or, you know, their best friend got saved last week and now they think they should too just to stay in the group,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
I try to work it with the kids all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She what?
She prayed with me before we ate.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
She's I've seen a change here. Oh, yeah. I've seen a change here. There's no doubt. It's a good thing. So, but anyway, I'll still give you some time to work on that. Next week, we will look at some of this, some of these testimonies. You do need, maybe if you all want to practice them among yourself, pair off or something and share, and then just get feedback on your testimony. But don't be upset if somebody gives you feedback on your testimony, because they're only wanting to make it more effective for you. So, all right, anybody have any questions?